depth. But even if I give you a little tidbit, it should be enough to whet your appetite to just go or focus in on what he's saying, because our minds are preoccupied by too many things. And it's until we take our position and do what God tells us to do, we're going to continue to be preoccupied with so many things and unable to focus or concentrate on the main thing, the good thing. You know, it's picture I see right now is Mary and Martha, and they've invited Jesus, come on over, Jesus. Come on over and have dinner with us. Jesus comes to have dinner. Martha's around cleaning up the house. She should have had the house already clean. Both of them should have. If they're going to invite Jesus over, they ought to at least invite him to a clean house with everything ready and prepared for him. But seeing that that was not the case, Martha was cleaning and preparing, getting the meal ready and everything else she was doing. But Mary went and sat at Jesus' feet and would not move. Were there things that needed to be done? Yes, there were. And Martha was trying to take care of all of it. And then she got mad. You know the story. She got mad at her sister, Mary. She complained to the Lord about it. Lord, don't you see what I'm doing? I'm doing all of this stuff for you. And you see my sister over here? I'm paraphrasing. She's not doing anything. She's just sitting there. And you would, you know, the average person would think that Jesus would say, you know what, get your lazy behind up and go on over there and help your sister get things prepared. You should have had things done before you even invited me over. You know, get your lazy behind up and go do something. That's how they used to talk to us when we were kids. Yeah. And they weren't, it wasn't cuss or swear words. It's just words that you respected. Amen. And so Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. In other words, you got so much going on in your mind that you can't even figure out how to choose the good thing. You think that by being busy over there, and I think that there was more going on in Martha's mind than just getting the house prepared, but she was troubled by many things. And all of this was going on in her mind. And see, if we're not careful, because we're so busy and wound up and stuff, we start looking at people who are at peace and walking around and just, you know, doing what they need to be doing concerning the things of God. And we start getting mad and angry and upset with them. We might get jealous or envious or, you know, just hate that person. Why? They're always smiling. They're always at peace. They're always this. They're always that. You know, don't they have a life? Why aren't they worried? Why aren't they, you know? And so that's the way Martha was. She started blaming Mary for all of her troubles. And if we're not careful, we can do that very same thing. We start blaming others for all of the troubles that go on. And Jesus is like, you know, you don't have to be all messed up, stressed out. You don't have to be all worried and frustrated. Mary had things going on in her world, but she chose, this is what Jesus said, Mary has chose a good thing. In other words, there were chores for Mary to do. But Mary came and she sat at the feet of Jesus because that's where our peace is. Our peace is not in all stressed out trying to get everything done. Our peace is right there, being in the very presence of the great I am. I don't have time for you. Better start making time. Unless you want to continue to be stressed out in the world. Stressed out over everything. Stressed out over everything that people are doing. They ain't doing this right. They ain't doing that right. All of this stress just going on. Trouble in the mind. Let me share this with you. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says that to be carnally minded is death. I think we covered that last time we were here. And to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded is death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we're not experiencing life, which is that abundant life that Jesus promised us, and peace, then we have to check out what state of mind we're in. Whether we're wrapped up in carnal thinking, fleshly thinking, human thinking, ordinary thinking, thinking apart from, absent from the very presence and power of God, thinking, well, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. The peace of God is unconditional. It works under any situation, circumstance, or condition. If Jesus could be asleep in the boat with waves crashing in, winds blowing, and the boat about to sink, and the disciples are panicking, but Jesus is at perfect rest and perfect peace, it works under any circumstance, over any circumstance, through any circumstance. It works. But if we're not spending that time in the presence of God and allowing our minds to be renewed according to the word of the living God, not according to man's opinion, not according to anything that we can get from anywhere else other than from Jesus, we're going to be so messed up as a people and never get to the place that God wants us to be. So to be carnally minded is death. And the thing about the carnal mind is this. Paul goes on to say, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. And I think I shared that with you last time, and some of you are already aware of it, and that's okay. But the reason I'm talking about this is not to try and teach you something new, but teach you something that Jesus has impressed that we need as an assembly. Has nothing to do with how much knowledge you have or how educated you are. It has everything to do with a right now word for a right now people. And so the carnal mind is enmity. That word enmity comes from the same root word that means enemy. He goes on and says that the carnal mind, we cannot please God. And the reason is that the carnal mind thinks that God is its enemy. You get that? The fleshly carnal mind thinks that God is its enemy. And so it rebels against God and treats God as an enemy, resists him. So transformation has to take place. And as transformation is taking place, all of a sudden we can see. We can think. We can breathe. Wow. All of a sudden, we experience the life and the peace that God promises us through his word because we're no longer allowing the ways of the world to govern our lives, but now we're allowing the Spirit of God to truly rule within our hearts and within our minds, which is the way God designed it to be. Do we have things to do? We all got things to do. Hallelujah. And they're going to get done, bless God. Hallelujah. And everything will be done in its time. But for right now, let me renew my mind. Okay. Give me just a couple of more minutes and then I'll be done. Ephesians chapter 6. I think I told you Ephesians chapter 4 and then also 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But let's go here real quick. I'll try not to keep you too late. I don't want your mind to start thinking I'm an enemy. I want to read this to you from the Amplified Translation. Jesus is Lord. You know, this passage is very familiar. Verse 12. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. This letter is written to Christians. It's not written to the ungodly. The ungodly is still wrestling. It's either me or it.
Praise the Lord. All right. That's a little better. It's not as loud, but it works. Okay. So he says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. But listen to this. But against despotisms or despots or dictators, if you will. Only we're not just dealing with the average dictator like Adolf Hitler or Idi Amin or Kim Jong-un, who else, like a Vladimir Putin. You know, they're physically manifest in the natural. But we're dealing in the realm of the spirit. As ruthless as these men have been and are today in the natural, the spirits that operate in them through them and are still there in the realm of the spirit are much more vicious, much more cruel, if you will. ISIS is nothing compared to the demons that operate in and through them. As heinous as the acts that have been done and continue to be done, it pales in comparison to the spirits that are operating in them doing these things, because those spirits will do even worse things. We have not seen the level and degree of crime is an insufficient word, but the wrath and the judgment that is coming and the wickedness that is going to spread all over the earth when the son of perdition, if you will, when the Antichrist rises on the scene, then you're really going to see an all-out vicious war and attack, if you will, on the church and on mankind. What we're seeing now pales in comparison to what's going to be. And it's the demons, it's the princes, the power, prince of the power of the air, spiritual hosts of wickedness, as it's described in the Amplified Translation, despotisms against the powers, against, listen, the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. The realm that we cannot see in with the natural eye, but it is more real than what we see with the natural eye. In other words, what we see physically, just as real as that is, spirit realm is even more real. Everything came from out of the spirit realm into the natural. And so we're dealing with invisible foes, and not just invisible foes. Amplified says, in the supernatural sphere. In other words, opponents that apart from God, we have no power or no authority against. Once our lives are opened up to them, for them to run their course or do whatever they want to do, we are subject to them. Unless one greater comes along in order to cast that thing out. And the only power that can cast out a devil is the power of God. Satan does not cast out Satan. Satan's kingdom is not divided. As divided as we are as a nation, as divided as we are as the church, the body of Christ, Satan's kingdom operates in unity. They strategically rule over regions. And they're more real than what we see in the natural. These things that we see going on, don't get caught up into the racial issue. It's a manifestation of something deeper than just the racial issue. That's just symptom, if you will. It's not the root cause of what's going on. It's the spirit operating behind the individuals that are doing the heinous acts that they do. People hate you because it's only natural to love. So when people hate you, it's because they're operating in a different spirit. Especially if they don't know you. How can you hate someone who has done you no wrong? There's a spirit that operates within the person. And that thing unleashed will do some of the most damnable, and that's not a cuss word, things, destructive things in life that we could ever even think or imagine. because Satan is wicked. He's evil. He hates God, he hates good, and he hates everything and everyone that represents God. And he does whatever he's able to do within his power to destroy God's prized possession, which is humanity. So Paul says, we're in a battle with them. We're in a conflict. We're in a fight. He equates it to wrestling. Wrestling is close contact. And he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the power of the spiritual hosts of wickedness, evil rulers of this present darkness. All of the wickedness and evil that we see is a manifestation of the demons in the realm that we don't see. We may have our reasons, and someone may do us wrong, and we want vengeance. But we have to see beyond the person. We have to see the spirit that operates and manifests through the person. Any mother in their right mind, any father in their right mind, when their child comes into the earth, they're what? Very happy. I mean, you know, those that are in their right mind. Oh, no, here comes another baby. That's not normal. That's abnormal. You're usually happy when a child comes into the world. Sweetest, most prized possessions, you know, your own seed coming into the earth. You're happy and excited about that. How can anyone hate a baby, an innocent baby? How can anyone do some of the things that they do to a baby? And the stuff that they're doing, it's just like, but it's the spirit that operates in those individuals. You got to be out of your mind to do some of the things that adults are doing to little kids, little babies, if you will. A precious little child. How can a grown man do some of the things that they do to a child and think that the child likes it? I forget the doctor's name, but I think it was back in the early 1900s, 1949 or something like that. This doctor who was doing experiments and things like that with little children, and they thought that the little children were enjoying this. That's how sick people can be, but it's not them, it's the spirit that operates in them. Satan hates everyone. He doesn't even love the ones that he uses and the ones that carry out his deeds in the night. He don't love them. After he has used them to do his work, then he leaves them. What do they end up doing? Either putting a gun to their heads, driving over a cliff, or doing some kind of act to themselves, or if nothing else, getting locked up in jail for life. You got this one individual who's about to do life if he survives for those bombs that he set off. It's not him, it's the spirit that operates in him. He still has to do the time. He can't blame that on the devil. But we are coming against these powers, these spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Okay, now that that's done. See, this is why I hate technology. Sometimes. There we go. Go with me to chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. I got to tie these together real quick. We'll start with verse 17. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles do, in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, emptiness of their souls, and futility of their minds. Because this is what we're dealing with, the mind, the mind, the mind, the mind. As I said last week, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Verse 18, their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, shut off from the life of God, with no share in it. That is because of the ignorance the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. Again, they're operating under a spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and then we're done. Their understanding is darkened. I'll begin reading. Verse 4. For the God of this world, whom we know to be Satan, little g, not capital G, he doesn't own the world, but he does influence worldly matters. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds. What does he attack? And if we don't deal with the mind, our mind is just a haven for demonic activity, demonic thoughts, demonic influence, demonic decisions, carnal thoughts that are against God, thinking that God is the enemy when Satan is the enemy. There's a devil loose and he's blinding people daily. I shouldn't say blinding them daily. He's blinding them all their lives until Christ comes, because he's the only one who could take away the veil. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves merely as your servants, slaves for Jesus' sake. I want to go into the next verse, but I think I'll stop right here. But it's the God of this world who blinds the mind. And this is how we once were coming into Christ Jesus. But now that we're into Christ Jesus, that blindness, that veil will remain unless we begin to do something to counter that. This renewing, this transforming, this transfiguration of the mind doesn't happen automatically. We receive a new born again spirit, if you will, the very spirit of God that comes, quickens our spirit, if you will, and we become spiritually aligned to the things of God. But if we do nothing about the mind, we will be born again spiritually, but carnally in the mind. All of our thoughts will still be carnal thoughts. And then you have to address the saints of God like Paul had to address the church at Corinth. You're around here thinking that you want meat. I want to give you meat. But I can't give you meat because you're still carnal. You're still babes. And babes still need milk. Milk is what's going to help to transform the mind, so that we can stop thinking that God is our enemy and now believe that he's our friend. He's our father. He's our lover. He's our God. He's our Christ. He's our Messiah. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. The carnal mind argues against that. It thinks God is an enemy. Take a baby who's not familiar with someone, a stranger, if you will, and they have mama and daddy around. That stranger may come in, that baby will go and hug mama or daddy's leg because they know that I don't know you. That could be your niece, your nephew, your cousin. But you're a stranger to them. And because you're a stranger, they just automatically draw to safety. Well, see, the carnal mind, God can step in the room. This is why some people are more sensitive to the very presence of God, and others are, duh. I don't see why they're doing all of that. I don't see why they have to pray loud. I don't see why it's so long. I don't see this. I don't see. Why? Because you're blinded in your mind. All you're saying is, I don't understand. And the reason we don't understand is because we won't do anything about the natural man, the natural mind, the natural thinking. I was sharing with Pastor Lucia today. You know, some come into TFT, and what they find out is that TFT just doesn't preach the word. We expect you to live by it. And that ain't like we're somebody special, or somebody big, or somebody like you, we've arrived. No, it's what God expects of us. So you're expected to walk this out and not just sit there and listen to a sermon and not try and impress by words. Like, I know scripture too. I don't care how much scripture you know. If you can't walk it out, it don't mean anything. You got to walk this thing out, work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And an unrenewed, carnal-thinking mind will not do that because it thinks that God is against them when God is actually for you. It will think that, no, it's just too hard. You're a taskmaster, reaping where you have not sown, taking this and taking that. You're mean. I know you're mean. That's what the carnal mind says to God. And God is like, I'm a loving God. I'm a gracious God. I'm a merciful God. I'm for you. I'm not against you. Don't get mad at me. It's because I expect something more out of you than you're willing to give up. I'm not your enemy because I expect you to come up. I'm not against you because I expect you to live like me. I'm trying to call you up where I am. But the mind will keep us down, keep us based with based thinking. We think like the natural, carnal man, absent of the presence and power and glory of God in their lives. But when our minds are renewed, as I said, it's like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It starts to glow with the glory. We start to see and comprehend, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Meaning our mind is changing and transforming. And now we're not just saying we possess the mind of Christ. We're now thinking through the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Don't get mad at me because I'm sharing with you some truth. So I sit there and look at you. And because I'm not in the flesh, I don't go there with you. But in the flesh wants to retaliate. What's wrong with you? I can do Brother Anthony because he won't get offended and he knows this doesn't apply to him. Amen. But what's wrong with you? Why are you sitting there sad and depressed when Jesus is for you and not against you? He's on your side. You've heard all of the testimonies of what God is doing. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. So why are you sitting there sad? Why are you sitting there beating yourself over the head? Where's your hope? Hoping, prophesy to yourself. I'm about to eat this microphone. I don't know why, but it keeps coming up to my mouth. And that's close enough. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. That's why Jesus teaches us to deal with it. He don't want you ignorant. We come ignorant. We come not knowing a thing. He has to teach us everything, and he's willing to do so. But we got to be some willing learners. That's the thing about a disciple. A disciple is a willing learner. He's a discipline. He disciplines himself to study and learn. He's not just, you know, Paul told Timothy, Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. But a child of God say, I'm going to do that too. Praise God. It's not just for fivefold ministry gifts. It's for the sons and daughters of the Most High God. How strong do you really want to be in the Lord? How much do you truly want God to use you? If I ask, how many of you want God to use you? Everybody's hand goes up. Now, how many are going to do something? Why? Because your natural mind thinks that God is your enemy. He requires too much. I can't do all of that. I ain't got time to be up early in the morning. I need my sleep. Sleep is your enemy, according to the word of God. Sleep is not your friend. What do my body needs rest? Yeah, your body gonna get some rest. You're gonna get some rest. Your body gonna see to it that you get some rest. But you just, you know, your body is not in control anymore. You once were body ruled. That's when you were of the carnal nature and you did everything that the body wanted to do. Even some things that you felt sorry for, that's your soul talking. Your soul saying, you know what, that wasn't even right.
Yeah, I know, but it was good, but I, you know, praise God.
But your spirit man would say, that's wrong and we need to repent. That's just wrong. The thought was wrong. I was warning you when the thought came. I was, don't go. Your carnal mind thinks God is your enemy. Thinks God is against you. Thinks God is a taskmaster asking for too much. Could you not tarry 1 hour? 1 hour? I can barely pray 2 minutes. You want me to pray for 1 hour?
I ain't got time. I don't have time to read the Bible. You don't read your spirit is famished. Your spirit is starving. If all you give it is just the little meal you get on Wednesday or the little meal you get on Sunday, because we try and be open to the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the Holy Ghost may teach. Sometimes he may preach. Sometimes the Holy Ghost may do nothing but just activity. And some people might feel shortchanged because, well, I didn't get no miracle. I didn't get no healing. I just came here and just sat and watched. Watch the show. And it's not a show. This is not a show. This is God moving in the midst of his people. And the veil has been removed so that we can all come and spend time in his presence. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Oh, Lord, just let me get 15. You know, he'll let you get 15 more minutes. Yeah, I just need 15 more minutes, Lord. He'll let you. Because when that 15 goes by, he'll be like, you said 15. Okay, the 15 went by. Will he keep track? He will. He will. You'll be falling off into that deep sleep, and then boop. And then it's like, okay. He's waiting on. Anybody that's got a good prayer life, they know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. And the thing of it is it's not to make you feel bad or feel guilty. It's to invite you in. Because once you start to let the flesh know who's in charge, the new sheriff is in town. Jesus is Lord. And my spirit man is ruling now. It used to be flesh ruled. It used to be soul ruled. Now the spirit man rules. And so the spirit will keep you going. And before you know it, your flesh will come into compliance. And it'll just start cooperating. And it won't even give you no problems. It'll be like, all I was waiting for was somebody to lead. Like a husband and a wife. The wife is waiting for the husband to leave. Honey, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. Okay, let's go and do this. Okay, what we're going to do? I don't know, but let's go. You know, that kind of thing between the husband and the wife type stuff. That's the way your body will come into compliance. It will start to obey and start to say yes. And then it's used for what it's supposed to be, as a house to transport the glory and power of God from place to place, wherever you go. This is why we say release the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within you. Go and release the kingdom. They don't need to see you. They need to see Jesus. Release the kingdom on the people and let them know Jesus did this and not you. Amen? Stand to your feet. There's another sermon coming, but I better stop right now. Amen. Deal with this thing. Deal with this thing. And some of you who really have problems with the mind, listen, don't ever think that you can't do anything about it. Right now, it might seem like a field of weeds. Weeds all over the place. It's so ugly, you don't even want to tackle it. But you got to tackle it because you're a child of God.
And God has given you everything that you need to tackle this thing. You can discipline your thoughts, your thought life, your thought patterns. You don't have to let your mind. See here, the third sermon is coming, but I'm going to stop. The thoughts start to rule and just start to go over here and go over here and go over here and go back there and try and go up and then go down and stuff like that. And you'd be all depressed and discouraged and, man, I'm just wore out. And you didn't even go anywhere. Your mind just wore you out by all of the places it went to. If you don't discipline it, it will run haywire. It will go all over the place. But if you begin to discipline it, all of a sudden, it starts to come into compliance. And then the radiance and glory of God can illuminate it. And then you start thinking God's thoughts. And start walking in God's ways. Satan won't be able to tempt you with stuff that you used to bow down and, you know, surrender to. Nothing will have control over you anymore. You don't have to be afraid about going by. Not that you go in and engage, but you just, you know, I ain't walking by there because I might be tempted. No. Our God is not that weak. Amen? All right, hold your hands up. You're all under arrest in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you will arrest your people under your power, your presence, your glory. I pray that the loins of our mind are strengthened by the power of your spirit, that we don't give over to the carnal, natural thinking mind any longer. But Lord God, we give over to the spirit of the mind and the mind of Christ Jesus. And that, Father, we think your thoughts and we walk in your ways and we live and declare your glory. Lord God, strengthen us with all might and power by your spirit in our inner man, that we no longer entertain thoughts that are contrary to your thoughts. We no longer entertain ways that are contrary to your ways. We don't see you as an enemy. We see you as Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy. We see you as the lover of our soul. We see that your ways are the best way and the only way. And we strive for your ways and don't settle for the ways of the base, darkened mind, Lord God, the carnal nature of the mind. Father, I pray for everyone that struggles, even with mental disorders in the mind. I pray that none go out of here condemned, but all go out of here encouraged, knowing that they can renew their mind. They can change their thinking. They can align themselves up with you, that they don't have to remain in a prison, Lord God. They don't have to remain, Lord God, just giving over to base thoughts that are not of you, that, Father, they can see and sense the presence of the Lord and the freedom and liberty that comes by your power in Jesus' name. I thank you, Master, for tonight. Thank you for your sons and daughters. Increase in all of us as we decrease. Now, the blessing of the Lord come upon each and every one of you. That the Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you'll triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God, pillar and ground of truth. The Lord is with you and will be with you everywhere that you go, that you have 100% victory 100% of the time. You give no place, no topos to the devil. Every ground that you have gained, you keep and possess for the glory of God. Surrender no territory to the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, be blessed as you go. We love you all. We thank you.